Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. We ask you, Lord, to continue to open our understanding, to bless us with your wisdom, Lord, to open up your word, especially your word in the Old Testament, to help us to understand what are you saying to us today there, Lord. What have you hidden in there? What hidden manna have you hidden there for your church, Lord? Lord, open our understanding today to see these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Well, we've been discovering beloved spiritual Israel. And I'd like to continue on with that, if you'll be patient with me just a bit here. I want to start in John chapter 8 and verse 21. He said, therefore again unto them, I go away, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, you cannot come. The Jews therefore said, will he kill himself? That he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. You know, the Jews, because they were only born from beneath and not born from above, had no chance to follow Jesus into his kingdom, into his eternal kingdom. That is, only those who are born from above can follow him. Those that are from beneath, which is everybody who's only been born once, have no chance to live or even to see the kingdom of God. And we know from what he said in John chapter 3, that no one hath ascended into heaven, verse 13, but he that descended out of heaven. We know that as we become born again from above, as the life of Christ, which is that manna that comes down out of heaven, is eaten by us and goes into us and becomes our life, that's the one that the Lord is after. That's the one that's going to follow him into the kingdom. You know, Jesus said, I am the way. And we're told here, Nicodemus, who was certainly one of the better Jews, because he understood who Jesus was. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born from above, literally it says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. The people that Jesus was speaking to were born of flesh, but they were not yet born of spirit. They actually were among those, in the end of this chapter, he said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. They said, will he kill himself? But he very prophetically said that no, it was going to be these people who were going to be the ones to kill him. But they couldn't follow him into the kingdom. You know, Jesus said in verse 24 here, he said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. And of course, in italics, the word is he written there, but it just says in the original, I am. Except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. All of the Jews today, folks, every last one of them who are born from beneath, born of this world, he said, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. All that are born of this world that don't believe that Jesus is the I am, they all die in their sins. They're not chosen. They're just born of flesh. And that which is born of flesh is flesh. All they can pass on is flesh. The Spirit of God is the only one that can pass on in us who Christ is. We must be born of His words. His words must bring new creation life in us. Okay? In Galatians chapter 6, we're told, verse 15 and 16, He says, "For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation. As many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." This is the Israel of God, folks. The people who are new creatures. This is the Israel of God. He's speaking to the Galatian church here, the Gentile church. And he says, natural circumcision doesn't mean anything. It was so important to the Jew, but they only didn't understand that it was only a type and a shadow of what God wanted to do in the hearts of men in the New Testament. So, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. The only thing that makes is important in this covenant is, he said, that you're a new creation. And that's what he calls the Israel of God. And then in Romans chapter 2, the verse that we read recently, in verse 28, he says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward and in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Well, this new birth, this death, burial, and resurrection, this crucifixion of the old man, the circumcision of the cutting off of the flesh in our life, and bringing to not life of the new man, this is what the Lord was after from the very beginning. But He gave us in the Jews, of course, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, He gave us in the Jews a type and a shadow. He said, "These things happened unto them by way of example," which is the Greek word for a figure or a type. "And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come." What God wrote of the Jews was a type and a shadow. And so when we find out that we who are born from above, or are being born from above, because this is a progressive thing, it is spirit, and it is progressing in our soul, and will ultimately be in our body. This is a progressive thing. When we realize who we are, that we are, according to the scriptures in the New Testament, the Jews that God spoke about, then we can go back and we can look in the Old Testament at those types and shadows and realize that God's speaking to us in the Spirit. He spoke to them in the flesh, but He's speaking to us in the Spirit. Because Jesus always used natural things to be a parable for spiritual things. You know, for instance, when Jesus spoke of sowing the seed, He wasn't talking about planting crops, was He? He was talking about sowing the seed of the Word. And when He spoke about the wheat and the tares, He wasn't talking about talking to farmers, was He? He was talking in the Spirit. And folks, the whole Old Testament's like that. We need to see in the Old Testament who the Jew actually is, and that God is actually speaking to us here. Let's go to Ezekiel 36 and verse 16. Follow along with me. I want you to see the parable that's hidden here. How that God is really speaking to us as spiritual beings. Beneath the letter, there is this hidden manna that is the Spirit that God has put there to speak to spiritual people. No, the letter people will never understand it nor see it. But when God speaks to His born-again spiritual Jews, they will understand it. Verse 16 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their way and by their doing. The way before me was as the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. When they dwelt in their own land, they defiled it because of their way and their doing." What is it that separates us from our own land? It is our rebellious ways and our rebellious doings. You know, Adam was driven from his land when he gave in to the flesh, when he sinned. And Israel was driven from their land, their natural place of life. The church was driven. The Apostle Paul spoke about how that the wolves would come in and divide the flock, and so on, and there would be a great falling away, etc., etc. These are just parallels. You know, history just keeps repeating. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. So these letter types are for us in the Spirit. And he says, the thing that defiled their land was their ways and their doings. And, of course, that's why God drove them out of their land. Right? He said it was like a woman in her impurity. Well, you know, the woman in her impurity, the blood of the woman washes away the seed so that the seed doesn't bear fruit and bring forth life. And that's the way it is. You know, the blood represents our old life. We are like that woman in her impurity, that the old nature. You know, the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So the blood represents that old carnal life, the fleshly life that we lean upon in order to not receive the seed of the Word, to not humble ourselves to the Word, to not let that seed bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in us. And so he goes on to say here in verse 18, wherefore I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood which they had poured out upon the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols. In other words, giving in to their flesh, they lost their right to live in that holy land. They were driven, separated from it, because they had no more right to live in it. Like Adam was driven from the Garden of Eden. Right? And verse 19, and I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. What was God's judgment? It was separation from their land because of their way, because of their doings. Now, has that happened in Christianity? Of course. Christianity was one in the beginning. And because of the great falling away from the principles and the seed of the Word that was given in the beginning, and because of human nature, the blood, in other words, washed that seed away. They decided they would rather give in to their flesh. They washed that seed away. Because of their way and their doings, they were separated from the land. That's what separation from the land represents. Living in the flesh, living after your own way and your own doings. It is the curse to not dwell in God's promised land, to live in His kingdom. You know, God's land in the Old Testament was Israel. It represented the kingdom of God. Israel represented the kingdom of God. To be driven from the land of Israel and to be out in the world among the nations in captivity to the nations represented not being ruled by the kingdom of God, but instead being ruled by the kingdom of the beast. So, we see that God's judgment was to separate them from their land. And when they came unto the nations, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, in that men said of them, they are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of His land. His land, of course, was Israel. Our land is Israel, folks. We've been driven from our land. You know, Christians all around the world have more affinity for the nation that they live in and are in bondage to the principles of the nation that they live in. They don't understand that we are one holy nation, according to what God spoke through Peter. One holy nation, one chosen generation. We belong to each other as Christians around the world. We belong to these. Our allegiance is not to this world. We don't pledge allegiance to this world. Christians would have rolled over, early Christians would have rolled over in their grave if they thought that their offspring in these days, spiritual offspring, would be pledging allegiance to any nation of this world. You see, God's people are in bondage to the nations. They've been driven from their land. We've got to go back to our land. We've got to live on the promises of God. We are these Israelites, you see, in the spirit, not in the flesh. Verse 21 says, but I had regard for my holy name. See, they profaned the name among the nations. Of course, they were living as the world, right? Represents the same thing as the Christians nowadays who live as the world. They profaned the name. In other words, the word profane means to wound or defile or to prostitute or pollute. They profaned the name. In other words, the word name means nature, character, and authority. They misrepresent the nature, character, and authority of what Christianity really is among the nations. Because they're worldly and they've taken on worldly nature, this misrepresents what Christ and Christianity is to the world. See, we don't represent something separate from the world anymore. Instead, we've become one with the world in captivity to the nations. God is calling His people out of all nations to become one in the land of Israel, which is represents the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus, right? But I had regard for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations whither ye went. And it's true that God's people in all the nations of the world, although they're supposed to be one in the land of Israel, one under the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, they have misrepresented, they have polluted, and they have prostituted that name in the midst of the world. They have been bought out, so to speak, you know, by the world, by the lusts of the flesh, by their affinity with the world, by wanting to be accepted by the world. They have been bought out. They have prostituted the name of Jesus. And verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which hath been profaned among the nations, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord. Notice that he is going to sanctify his name. He's going to, the word sanctify means separate from the world and unto God. It means separate his name from the world. You know, the name of Christian or Christian doesn't mean much in this world anymore. The Christians act pretty much like the world. There's no separation from the world. God says he's going to separate his name from the world. He's going to sanctify his name. And when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, when he shall be sanctified in us, set apart in us, in their eyes. In other words, when we are different from the world, when we are separate from the world, how do we separate from the nations? We go back to our own land. That's the place of holiness. That's the place of the leadership of God. That's the place of the kingdom of God. The place where we submit to his authority. We're not in bondage to the beast kingdoms around about. You know, so God is calling us out of the nations. You say, well, David, you can't negate the fact that Israel has come out, natural Israel has come out of the nations like in 1948. Nope, don't do that at all. Matter of fact, the letter always comes before the spirit. And the letter is true and the natural. It won't put people in the kingdom of heaven, though, frankly. The only thing that will put people in the kingdom of heaven is to be born of spirit, not born of flesh, not born of the world, not born from beneath, but born from above, of the word of God that comes down out of heaven, you see. And it won't do them any good. In fact, I'm going to prove that to you. Let's follow along with me here just a minute. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, and I will gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Well, now, how's the Lord going to do that? You say, you think 1948 for the Jews was the fulfillment of this? Well, let's look at the next verse. How is God going to do this? Bring us out of the nations and into our own land. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I remember what the Apostle Paul said about the washing of the water with the Word of God in Ephesians. The Word of God, Jesus said, you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. In other words, the Word of God cleansed those apostles. It cleansed those disciples. It caused them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It separated them from the world. It separated them unto Jesus Christ. They were coming out of the nations, even the corrupt nation of Israel. They were coming out. They were called the church, which means what? The called out ones. See, the called out ones is who we're talking about here. We are the called out ones. We're called out of all nations to come back to our spiritual land of Israel underneath our King David, Jesus Christ, right? So he says, how is he going to bring us out of the nations and into our own land? He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. Same thing he said to those disciples in that instant. They listened to the words of Jesus and those words had life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those words went into them and recreated in them the life of Jesus Christ. They were born from above. And you shall be clean. Did this happen in 1948? No, it did not. Did they turn to the clean water of the Word at that time? No, it did not. Many people read this and they think, oh, that was the fulfillment of this. Folks, the letter will never fulfill this. The letter is the parable. The fulfillment happens in the Spirit. This was written for us in the New Testament, as I just read in Corinthians. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols, which I cleanse you. Will I cleanse you? Did that happen in 1948? We're 60 years later almost here, folks. Did it happen at this time? Has it happened up until this time? No, it has not. Well, so who is this really happening for? If it's not happening for God's people who are born again and are separated from the world by that new life in Christ. The next verse. A new heart will I give unto you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. Has that happened up until this time with natural Israel? No, it hasn't. Will it happen? Yes, it will, for a remnant. If Israel be as the sands of the sea, Isaiah said, it is the remnant that shall be saved. And he was speaking of natural Israel. We know that of spiritual Israel, all Israel will be saved. But of natural Israel, we discovered that only a remnant is going to be saved. He said, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. Well, for 60 years, that really hasn't happened for Israel. And I believe probably for another few years, it won't happen to a larger extent. But we know that according to Romans chapter 11, that after the fullness of the Gentiles become into the and grafted into the olive tree, that a remnant of Israel is going to turn and come into the kingdom. And so it is going to be fulfilled for a measure, for a remnant of natural Israel. But I want to tell you that this is fulfilled for all spiritual Israel. All spiritual Israel. And who is that? Those who are circumcised in heart. Those in whom the flesh has been cut away. Those who have been separated from the beast. The biggest beast, folks, that you've got to deal with is this old beast that you live in, right? Romans 6:6:6, right? The sixth book, sixth chapter, sixth verse. Talks about what? The old man. The crucifixion of that old man. You know, that's the cutting off of the beast right there. The beast that rules in your life. You know, when Jesus came, they wanted him to cut off the Roman Empire and take over as king. Wasn't what he came for, was it? He came to fulfill the Spirit. He came to cut off the beast in their life. That's what he was interested in. They didn't understand that. Why? They're blinded to the letter. Just like many when they read this, they're blinded to the letter. They don't understand. This is talking about us. This is being fulfilled in us. And when a natural Israelite is born again and receives a new heart and a new spirit, he's one of us. He's entered into the only covenant that exists. Do you understand? There's no other covenant. Matter of fact, we can look at the promise of the covenant. I'll come back here in just a minute, but let's look at the promise of the covenant here in Jeremiah chapter 31. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, Hebrews tells us, in that he says a new covenant, the first covenant is nigh unto vanishing or passing away. When you say a new covenant, it means you're not messing with the old covenant anymore. Okay? So what's his new covenant that he's making with Israel? And who is this Israel? Well, you can tell who this Israel is by the one who accepts the new covenant. That's how you know who Israel is. Right? I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And the Lord spoke to me years ago, and he told me very basically what Judah represented in Christianity and what Israel represented in Christianity. Judah represents the Spirit-filled people of God, the people who believe in being filled with the Spirit and walking as Jesus walked, the Spirit-filled people of God. And the northern ten tribes are that worship the image of the beast. They are the denominations of Christianity that reject the filling of the Spirit and the guidance of the Spirit. Okay, but God is joining these two groups of Christians together in these days, in the coming days. He goes on to say, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Folks, he is not making that covenant with Jews today. He only made it with their fathers. And the covenant that he is making today is not according to the covenant that he made with their fathers. Don't go back under that covenant that does not exist. Don't let Christian Judaizers bring you back under a covenant that does not exist and was never made with you as a Gentile Christian or a Christian of any kind in the New Testament. Don't do that. Notice, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. God's not going back to that covenant. If you're going to join the covenant, there's only one covenant for all Jews now, for all Israelites now. There's only one covenant. And the people that have that covenant and abide by that covenant, that's the real Israel. Okay? Watch. In the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That's where we're leaving the land of Egypt, folks. The world. Which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. What days is he talking about? He's talking about the days of the old covenant. After those days, this is the covenant I'm going to make with who? The house of Israel. You see, in the new covenant, God made his covenant with the house of Israel. Watch. I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. That is our new covenant. It's the only covenant. And he made it with the house of Israel. Doesn't matter if you were a natural Jew in the Old Testament or a Gentile. We're all joined together, according to what we read in Ephesians in our previous study. We're all joined together in Jesus Christ in this born-again covenant. If you're not born again, you're not Israel. If you're not born again, you don't have a covenant. If a natural Israelite wants a covenant with God, slaughtering beasts will not do it, will not even bring forgiveness. It's an abomination according to Isaiah chapter 1. There's only one way to have a covenant with God, born again. The people who are born again, that is Israel. Okay. Now back to where we were. I'd like to read just a little bit more. He said that he would cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. Well, the born-again life, the life of God in us, will cause us to keep his covenant, to keep his statutes, and do them. Not go back under the law, not go back under the type and the shadow, not go back under the parable, but fulfill that in the New Testament because of what God has put in our heart, what's written upon our heart and written upon our mind. Okay, this is a gift from God. This is the good news. The bad news, folks, was the law. That's the bad news. The bad news is this is what God wants, and you of your own nature, your old nature, cannot obey it, cannot keep it, and will be a failure all of your life. The good news is the Lord offers to you his life. He gave it to you through Jesus Christ. accept this gift of God. This gift that's being born from above in us through the Word of God is recreating His life in us. When we submit to this Word, when this old man dies and we submit to this Word, that life that enters into us is Christ's life. He can live according to the principles of God. He can submit to the statutes of God. He does it in us. That's what the New Testament's all about. That's why it's called the Good News. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. We're going to dwell in the land that was given to our fathers. You want to know when real Christianity was in the earth? Go back and read it in the Gospels and in the book of Acts and in the letter. That's real Christianity. Our fathers, our forefathers, they walked in this powerful walk with the Lord. They walked in this. They lived in this. They lived the power of God. Paul said, "You have not many fathers. I begat you through the gospel." Paul sowed the seed of the Word of God in the people's hearts. He was a father. Peter was a father. Jesus was the father of eternity, Isaiah 9:6 calls him. You know, they were fathers. They sowed this seed in us, and it is bringing forth life. He says, we're going back to dwell in the land that He gave to our fathers. That's the kingdom of God. That's where people served God, and He was king. He ruled their lives, right? And you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will save you from all your uncleannesses. Here, this is what it is to dwell in the land of Israel, being saved from all of our uncleannesses. This is what it is to have this covenant of being born again, saved from all of our uncleannesses. Now you know who Israel is, folks, who they really are in the spirit, not in the flesh, right? And I will call for the grain, and I will multiply it, and lay no famine upon you. And so on. In other words, out from under the curse. He goes on to talk about multiplying the fruit, so on and so forth. So who is New Testament Israel? Those who are circumcised in heart. The flesh is cut away. Jesus did this. We're no longer, it's no longer I that live. That's the old man. It's Christ that lives in me. The flesh has been cut away. I have been crucified with Christ. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. In other words, just consider it done. That's what faith does. Just consider it done. And you know what? God is able to bring it to pass. Down in 37, there's another story I want to share with you here. Maybe a couple more, depending on what we can get to tonight. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This was Ezekiel. Ezekiel means strengthened of the Lord. You know who Ezekiel was in this story? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 26, you find out Ezekiel was caught up to the throne of God. And then he received an anointing of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 and verse 2. And his job it was to bring this revelation to Israel. He represented the man-child. He represented the first fruits. And his job it was to bring this revelation to Israel and this anointing to Israel. And that's what this chapter 37 is all about. You got the man-child. You got the first fruits, Ezekiel, now faced with a dead Israel. A dead army laying on the ground. You read the story, I'm sure. Let me read just a little bit of it. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. He saw it, the valley of dry bones. And the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, to cut this just a little bit short, the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, and He told him that He was going to breathe life into these dry bones. I'll read just verse 5. It says, "Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you." By the way, that word breath is the same word for spirit, ruach. Same word for spirit. "And you shall live." See? So, you're dead until you got the life of God and you breathed in you by the Spirit, right? "And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, again, spirit in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, of course, when God's Spirit comes in you, you become to know Him, right? You know that He is the Lord. So, Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them. And flesh came up, and skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. By the way, that's the same word, ruach, spirit. Prophesy unto the spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, or spirit, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, or spirit, and breathe upon these slain, and they shall live. They may live. So, you know, as Jesus, as the man-child, passed on the anointing of the Spirit to His disciples, He breathed on them, He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He raised up the valley of dry bones. He brought to life people that were dead. You know? Let's read on. And so it will be in these times, folks. The man-child of Revelation 12, that's his ministry, is to bring the anointing of God. This time it's going to be to bring the latter rain anointing of the Spirit to God's people. Verse 10. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. This is the army of the Lord. This is Israel. This is the Israel of God that He's talking about. Okay? Has this happened to natural Israel yet? No. Is it going to happen to a remnant? Yes. Matter of fact, we're reading here in Ezekiel 37. The next chapter is Ezekiel 38. Most of you recognize Ezekiel 38 as that great war against Israel. Again, that's the natural. That's not the spiritual, because we know the beast is going to make war on the saints. So watch closely here. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, so we see the timing here. I pointed it out to point out the timing here, because it's just before chapter 38. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, what does the whole house of Israel mean in the New Testament? Well, we read in Romans chapter 11 that God, first of all, broke off the natural Israelite through unbelief, grafted in the spiritual Israelite through his faith, and told them, of course, that if they continued in God's goodness, that they would stay in the olive tree called all Israel. And then he talked about grafting in a remnant of natural Israel in the end of time after all the Gentiles have come in. And he said, so all Israel shall be saved. Romans chapter 11. Go back and read it. All Israel shall be saved. Well, here's the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. Now, if you read this in the Spirit, if you read it in the letter, I want to tell you something. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In the letter, the whole house of Israel is never going to be saved. They're never going to receive the Holy Spirit. If you see this in the letter and you think this is going to be fulfilled for only the letter Jews, you have missed the point. They are never going to be saved. Paul said, quoting Isaiah again, if Israel be as the sands of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. Natural Israel, only a remnant. Spiritual Israel, all of them. All of them that are grafted into the olive tree, right? Now, if you fall into unbelief, you're broken off, just like natural Israel was. That's what he said, okay? But all those who are in the olive tree called all Israel, they're all saved, okay? Now, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off. Well, that's these days and years leading up to, of course, Ezekiel 38, you know, which we know is an end time revelation. Okay, our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. People discerning the shaking that's going on in the world. Remember what he said. I heard a noise and behold, an earthquake, and the bones started coming together. You know what? God's going to shake this earth. And God's people are going to come trembling out of Egypt, to quote another text that's parallel to this one. They're going to come trembling out of Egypt. They're going to call upon the name of the Lord. But you know what? When the shaking begins, the first thing they think is, we're cut off. We don't know God. We can't go through this wilderness. They're going to know their need of God, because the shaking everywhere is going to put the fear of God back in them. They're going to know their need of God. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people. What is it that we're baptized for? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life. Coming up out of your grave is talking about resurrection life, right? When you come up out of the water, it's not you, it's Christ. It's no longer I live. It's I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me, right? So coming up out of your grave, that's what it represents. The born-again experience, being filled with the Spirit and resurrected into the kingdom of God. Oh, my people, I will bring you into the land of Israel. There it is again. Why is it that everywhere we find that when people come into this covenant of being born again, they're entering into the land of Israel? Born again is not just receiving a new spirit, folks. If you stop at that, you're an unprofitable servant cast forth into outer darkness. Receiving a new spirit is so that you can follow that spirit, so that your soul can be born again unto God. Your nature, your character, your mind, your will, your emotions, all coming into alignment with Jesus Christ. His life living in you and through you. See, this is what it's all about. This is the good news. So, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. We're being called out of the nations, called, separated from this world, sanctified from this world unto God in His kingdom. That's what Israel is, okay? And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people. When you first received a new spirit, you knew that God was who He said He was. Then, if you're very blessed, you continued to walk in sanctification. If not, you got captured by a Babylonish religion somewhere and got led astray and were captured by the nations instead of going to your promised land. Instead of passing right on through Babel and going to Zion, you got trapped in some dead religion. Well, this born-again experience doesn't stop with born-again in your spirit. It's born-again in your soul. And because you've borne that fruit, you'll have a born-again body like His body. Let's see. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, death to life. And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken it, performed it, saith the Lord. This born-again, spirit-filled life of following the Spirit of God is submitting to the kingdom of God, living under the kingdom of God. That means you're in Israel. That's the kingdom of God. Under who? David. That means it says that in the last half of this chapter, as a matter of fact. Look, you want to see it again? Let's go to, well, between here and verse 21, he speaks about joining together Judah and Israel. Folks, Christianity is greatly divided right now. There's one thing that's divided it, the filling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. That's what's divided it. There are those that have, and there's those that have not. The overwhelming majority, like the 10 tribes, who didn't live, who didn't go and worship at the altar in Jerusalem, where the presence and the Shekinah glory of God was, they were in the majority. Just like today, the majority of Christians have not received the Holy Spirit, the power to cause them to come up out of their graves and walk with the Lord. The power that we read about in Ezekiel 35. So, he's going to join these two houses together through this great revival that's coming. Through the man-child's ministry. He's going to join people that have never been filled with the Spirit and those that have, but haven't learned to follow the Spirit. And he's going to bring these people up out of the graves. Okay, verse 21. and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations whither they are gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. See, we are one holy nation, one chosen generation. We are just one people all around the earth. We're just one people. We don't belong to the nations. We don't worship the nations. We are not a part of them. We are a peculiar people. We are different. We are to be sanctified, meaning separated from the nations. We are the called out ones. We're called out of the nations to go to Zion, to submit in the kingdom of God to our King David, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation. Interesting, folks. You know what? When we dwell in the kingdom of God, we are one. What has man done at the time when the great falling away happened to Christianity? I'm talking about right after the time of the apostles. When they were driven from their Israel, their land, what happened? Well, first thing, wolves came in to divide the flock. They were not one nation anymore. They were now in bondage to all the nations, and all the sectarian nations and all the sectarian denominations of Christianity have separated the people of God. But he says, when you come into your own land, you're going to be one nation. No more sect or division or strife. What did Paul say about that in Galatians? He said, that's a work of the flesh. A sect is a denomination, a division, strife. All of this is caused by wolves coming in and dividing up the flock. We are one in the kingdom of God. If you will come into the kingdom of God, you will be one with your brother. If not, you will be fighting. You will be striving. You will be competitive. Just like what? The nations are. Just like the nations. You're following the nations. Exactly. See? One nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. Now notice, he brought them from the valleys when they were dead to the mountains of Israel. Again, another parable. From the nations to the land, from death to life, from the valley to the mountains, from Babylon to Zion, basically. The same parable, just in many different ways, you know. So, what are the mountains? They're the high places of the earth. That's where people are above the earth. The valley is the place of death. These were dead, dry bones, no life. They were hugging the earth, folks. The mountains are the high places, the farthest part of the earth, separate from the world, above the world. Now, that's what the land of Israel represents, the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any other transgressions. See, when they came out of the nations, it speaks of their transgressions. When they're leaving their transgressions, they're leaving the nations. They're no longer a part of the world. They are coming out of Egypt. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned. Every place, every nation that you dwell that's out of the land of Israel, you are not abiding in the kingdom of God. You are not abiding in Jesus Christ. You are sinning. You are living in your sins. You are dead in your sins. Come out from among them and be separate. We are different from the world. We don't pledge allegiance to this world. Our allegiance is to the kingdom of God. We don't pledge allegiance to that because it's not our power that causes us to walk in the kingdom of God. It's His power. So you can't pledge anything. Our faith is in Him to do this in us. It's not in ourselves. If it were in ourselves, we could pledge. We're commanded not to do that. So, He'll save us out of our dwelling places, all these places that we've sinned, and it will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And my servant David shall be king over them. Well, we know who David was. David was Jesus. And in these days, once again, Jesus is coming manifested in a body of David. It's a corporate body this time because Israel is now a corporate body worldwide. David is also going to be a corporate body worldwide. Jesus is manifesting through a new leadership in these coming days, folks. And if you've been following me, you know who David represents. He represents the man-child, just like Jesus was the man-child, and he was the son of David. He came to rule over Israel. How many Israelites did he rule over? Well, everybody that submitted to him was an Israelite, but a lot of natural Israel refused him. He was the stone that the builders rejected. And my servant David shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. That's right. When you're talking about Jesus, he is the head. Now, he might manifest his headship through ministers of different sorts, but he is the head. And they shall all walk in mine ordinances and observe them. All of Israel is going to walk in his ordinances, folks. Not natural Israel. That hadn't happened. But all those who walk, all those Israelites who walk in their promised land and on their promises, stand on their promises, these people, and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers dwelt. And they did, our fathers of Peter and Paul and so on and so forth. And they shall dwell therein, they and their children and their children's children. Our offspring, folks, are not fleshly offspring. They are the people that we sow the seed in. We are fathers too, you know. We, so of course, do that in our natural children, but we also do it in our spiritual children. And these people who receive that seed, that are our children in this world, those people will also walk in the kingdom of God forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. Forever? That's a long time. We're talking about eternal life here. We're talking about people dwelling in the spiritual kingdom of Israel. We've been called out of the nations, folks. And the fact is, Israel are those who are coming out of the nations. Natural Israel, 1948, didn't bring any big manifestation of salvation unto them. Okay? But for spiritual Israel, that new birth, the ones who continue walking in that new birth, these are the people. In Jeremiah chapter 3, he said, go and proclaim these words towards the north. Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not look in anger upon you. And verse 14, return, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, two of a family. In other words, coming out of Babylon, coming out of bondage to the beast, come back to your land. He said, in that day they won't think about the Ark of the Covenant anymore. They won't even remember it. Verse 17, he says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations, the Gentiles, shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord. This is talking about the Gentiles' Jerusalem, the born-again Jerusalem. This is the city that Paul spoke about. He said, you have come to the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. You haven't come to a mountain that can be touched. No, you can't touch it, but you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. They did in that day. And there's been a great falling away since to the nations. Now God's people are coming back out of the nations. And it says here, the Gentiles, the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, the nature of the Lord. The name is His nature. We're being gathered back to the real Christianity, the real Christ, not another Jesus, right? Neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance unto your fathers. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us for this Bible study today. I don't know if we'll continue this or not. I'll just have to ask the Lord about that, you know. But I hope you're seeing that God is speaking to you out of this book. This old covenant, this is all talking to you. Read the parable, folks. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and tell you what this is really talking about. God bless you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to go forth with the brethren, Lord, and to bring them into that land, Father. Bring them into that land, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.